Good morning. Today is Wednesday, 28th of February. Joining us this morning from parts unknown. Are you in the Bay Area, Darren, or are you down in Phoenix?
Good morning, guys.
Hey, there you are.
I just got back from Phoenix on Sunday night, a late flight. We had games over the weekend, the first two games. One Saturday's game was in Scottsdale. Sunday was in lovely Surprise, Arizona,
which is
you've never been there. I would say maybe the drive would be equivalent from Eureka to Idaho, and there's no straight line that goes there without hitting 600 stoplights. But a good time, and the weather was fantastic. It was in the mid to high 70s. Crowds were big all weekend. Yeah, it was great to be back in the atmosphere of baseball.
And you got out of Dodge before Wednesday's broadcast. I like that.
Yeah, well, today yeah. Went today. Well, in a prior life, I used to produce and engineer the games for the Angels for many years, and we used to do every game from down there, not only in radio but as a TV simulcast.
Oh, cool!
So by about week three, you're just exhausted. By week four, you're ready to just leave Arizona. And then the season starts, and then you have another 162 to do, and you're just like, oh, I just did 30. It didn't count.
Well, and that was back in caveman times before there was air conditioning, too. So that really made it challenging.
Yeah.
I thought I'd just step in there and take a cheap shot. Oh, okay. Well, we I don't know if you remember or not from last time, but we have our little question of each morning to find out really how intelligent or not our folks are. So are you ready for that? Oh, and this one is kind of apropos to the first question or comment that I shared with you when you called in this morning. How's that for a tease? Why is a restricted limit called a deadline?
Why is a restricted limit called a deadline?
Yeah.
I don't know.
A deadline is an absolute limit, usually a time limit. Okay, that's our bridge there. And was popularized by the newspaper the newspaper business, in which getting stories written and printed on time is of ultimate importance. But the expression comes from the American Civil War prisoners, who were kept with crude makeshift boundaries, often just a line sketched in the dirt or an easily breached rail fence. They were told if you cross this line, you're dead. And soon the guards and prisoners simply called it what it was, a deadline. Go ahead. You can pass that one on to the boys in the booth. see what their reaction is to that,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, in fact, you got 4 minutes and 5 seconds to do this pregame show. That's the deadline.
Yeah. Yeah. If not, we'll test gravity. All right. Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, what is the biggest thing that people take away when they understand what your job is and what it, all the details that it entails?
Well, the best way I can describe it, it's I'm in charge. People ask me that, or someone a lot, like, what exactly does your job entail? And the job entails taking care of overseeing the entire Giants radio broadcast. And that encompasses the, taking care of the equipment, setting it up, directing the broadcast, making sure that we have all the live reads, the many promos that we have, keeping an eye on all the major league games that are going around the majors, pulling highlights, cutting highlights, putting together the post-game show, putting together the two pregame shows with the Bob Melvin show, the Kruk and Kipe show. It's a lot of digital editing there, too, as well, timing things out, quality control, making sure everything is timed out, our commercial breaks in the game are tight, 1 minute, 50 seconds, no more, especially with this clock that's pretty strict now in baseball. So we have to keep everything rolling. And aside from all that, you just make sure that everything is running smoothly on a day-to-day basis, and it's a home and road gig. So for the next 6 months, it's going to be extremely, extremely busy. If you're not at the ballpark, you're going to be on a plane, or you're going to be on a bus, or you're going to be in transit. Having said all that, it's fantastic, and it's one of the greatest jobs I've ever had.
You forgot about making sure the batteries for the cattle prod were full and working.
Right.
We are taking a break now. I've always thought to being in the background is more fun than being out in front. It's knowing that it's flowing because it's flowing, and that the folks, whoever, I mean, it could be a theatrical production also. It doesn't have to be radio, which I guess, you know, we are theater of the mind. That it just flows, that it looks so simple. But
yeah,
it's not.
And that's the thing. You take pride in working as a team. Now, the announcers are the guys whose voices, and they ultimately will have the final say of the product that goes on the air. But we have such a great, I'm very fortunate to have such a great relationship with John Miller and Dave Fleming and Kruk and Kipe that we have gelled almost literally since day one. When I took over for Lee Jones, and I have a lot of pride in this broadcast. I think amongst our colleagues around the majors, I think that is very clearly evident too, as well. So,
I was wondering if what you guys have as a unit or as a broadcast team, if that's typical or atypical.
Well, it's a little atypical now as we move along. I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And back in the day, when I took over in 01, I'm sorry, when I started with the Angels in 01, you could probably go down every major league team and name the two-person announce teams for the radio and television. And those were the two, the four people per team that you could say, like, okay, so-and-so is doing this, so-and-so is doing that, and you would know it. But as we've moved along through the decades, where, announcers are either retiring or they're taking other gigs. The industry, in terms of sports broadcasting in baseball, has changed a little. You can have a lot more.
Well, let's keep that as a cliffhanger. We got a profit center here, and then we'll be back with more from Darren Chan.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Darren Chan of, are you San Francisco Giants? Are you Cumulus? Are you KMBR? Who are you?
Cumulus, KMBR, working in conjunction with the Giants. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so you got a hyphened employer.
Yeah, that's going to be my check comes from Cumulus.
Yeah, that's the one that counts, baby.
That's right.
Oh. How does baseball compare to doing the production and the engineering of other sports?
Well, that can be, it's an interesting question because of the 30 baseball teams, there's 18 of us who travel, do full-time. And when I say full-time, I mean we do every game on the home, every game on the road. And the other 12, they have engineers and producers that work at home, but then they hire a local engineer in a different market. It's the day-to-day aspect of it. As everyone knows, baseball is, 162 games in a six-month span. There's very little off days. You can have technically, the Players Association allows 23 straight games without a day off, and if you do something like that, it has to be union approved. But you could have, in theory, 3 weeks of games without an off day. They don't schedule it that way, but because of the nature of the game, because of rainouts and rescheduling for whatever reason, sometimes that does happen. We've had stretches where we'll go 2.5 weeks without an off day. So that That's the part that's exhausting, whereas opposed to, you know, football, as everyone knows, it's once a week. You have the big production for the big game. That's it. Basketball, you know, you have 3 to 4 games a week, for, I should say NBA, 3 to 4 games a week, and, you know, those are timed games where it's you know, generally the basketball is you're going to be a 2.5-hour game. Baseball, even with the time clock, even now with the pitch clock, you know, you're still it can still vary. We had a game on Saturday, I'm sorry, on Sunday that was 2 hours and 9 minutes, and then Monday, I believe the game was 2 hours 59 minutes. So it still varies, it still fluctuates with the pitch clock. That's a little different about it, but the general thing about the games, it's producing a game for baseball is knowing the game. I think for the NFL, you have a separate producer, you have a separate engineer. In baseball, our position is a combination. It's a producer slash engineer. So you have to know the game. You know, have to know the ins and outs.
I can't imagine it being the football way. I mean, one, it would be boring to only do half of what your job is. But if you're the conductor of the band, you want more than just the horns. You want the band. You know, you want everybody, right?
Yeah, and you do, and it's a big production for the NFL. I guess that's maybe an unfair comparison because, you know, when the Super Bowl broadcast. Now, I've never worked the Super Bowl games, but I know plenty of people who have worked at Super Bowls, and it's a fleet of engineers, and it's in conjunction with the NFL and the broadcasting, whoever the rights holders are for the Super Bowl, say CBS, that's a big thing. Whereas, supposed to, I have done World Series games. It is extremely busy, there's no doubt, but you are still that 3 or 4 person team that you've been with all season long, and you work together still as a core. So it's definitely different. You spend more time with the people that you work with in baseball in a 6-month period than you do your own family. It's really true because you're traveling with them, you're going out for dinner with them, you're in the booth for, you know, 7-8 hours a day per, you know, together in a confined area. So you get to know the people very well. And then maybe that's what the big difference is too as well, is that because of the nature of the schedule of baseball, you are spending more time together, and you get to know the people that you work with more than ever.
I would think a difficult persuasive challenge for you to have people appreciate the fatigue, the tire, the pressures of going to a ball game, watching the team play, laughing with the guys.
Yeah.
is that even possible for folks who've not been in a broadcast booth to really grasp the fatigue factor, the tire, how long it takes to put together a seamless broadcast?
And that's the part that gets often overlooked, is that the amount of time you spend together as in the booth and working, you have to kind of, I shouldn't say have to, because I know of instances where there are broadcast teams that don't get along internally. We're very fortunate in San Francisco for the Giants to have the core 4 broadcasters that you've known and grown to love over 20 years with Dave, John, Krug, and Kipe. You know, that doesn't happen a lot around the majors. There's certain reasons why guys, they go in different directions. And I can safely say and proud to say that all 4 of those guys are friends. Everyone that gets along, and including our, you know, with our TV director and producer and myself, and it's a lot of fun putting together. But to back to your question, baseball is mostly an outdoor sport. It happens in the summer. It happens in a lot of cities in the Midwest, in the East, and definitely in the South, where it is stifling heat. And that can draw on your health and make you tired and fatigued. And, you know, sometimes the flights can be late night, or you'll have a delay for mechanical reasons, just like any commercial flight. And that wears on you, too. And then you have, on top of all that, the almighty rain delay.
Well, we'll talk about how you deal with delays when we come back. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Darren Chan. I'm just going to say with the Giants baseball broadcast team. How's that? Does that work?
Yeah, sounds good. I signed a three-year deal worth $44 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming up
right.
Tonight, so.
And can I introduce you to your new closest friend, me?
Already hit me up for a loan.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. No, not a loan, a grant.
Oh, okay. intention of paying it back.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, oh, hey, current thing where I'm watching some of the Ford Frick, which for folks that are unaware, baseball 25, 30 years ago decided that they were going to have a Hall of Fame inductee from the broadcast industry each year. And it was named after one of the past commissioners of baseball, Ford Frick. And for folks in our area, John Miller has received that. Lon Simmons has. And I've been watching a lot of Bob Uecker stuff along with Lon Simmons. What is Uecker like? Do you know? Have you had a chance to meet him or to kind of be in the room with him and experience the it that he has?
Yeah. Let's just say it is. Bob Uecker is still calling Milwaukee Brewer games. He's only doing the home games now, so he does have a reduced schedule. But he is as sharp-witted and as nice and funny as a guy as you've seen in movies and in TV and beer commercials. He is a guy that when you go to Miller Park, which is now called American Family Field, you
no, it's
go
not.
Over
not out here. Oh, it's no. Still Miller Park, oh, baby.
Okay. It's Miller Park, and who knows, they may be changing that again. They are, you go over to the home radio booth, and you can kind of pay your respects to the great one. And he will always have time for you, too, as well. He will always welcome you and crack jokes and sometimes for me, if I walk in there with say John and we start talking, I will just sit back and let the two of them go, because the stories that Uke tells are just priceless, and they're all stuff that, you know, all of them, but a lot of them are the ones that are stuff you can't say on the radio. So it's just like it's just great stuff, and you hearken back, and I don't know, maybe my YouTube algorithm is listening to me, because I'll go home and the next thing you know you see like Uecker on Carson,
Uecker
on Carson part two, you know, that kind of stuff,
part 65.
Yeah, right. And you're just like, you don't really, people forget you're amongst an American legend, an icon here. He is exactly what you've seen in public, too. A great guy, and the fans in Milwaukee just absolutely adore him.
Staying outside of the Giants broadcast team, who would you listen to? Who do you look forward to hearing when you either you go to town or you have them come to town and either to BS with them, hang out at the batting cage, or, you know, kind of put a cup against the wall and listen to the other broadcast crew?
Well, I have a special affinity for John Sterling and Susan Waldman with the Yankees. I've got to know them over the years, and I absolutely love their broadcast. And I know for a lot of people, John can be, it can be a hit and miss with a lot of people because he does have a certain style and the home run shtick of the funny sayings and sometimes the singing.
Yep.
That's not everyone's cup of tea, but I can tell you this, that amongst the broadcasters in Major League Baseball, everyone gets a kick out of it. People like it. The fellow broadcasters like it. Now, not everyone should be doing his style. No one should copy that. But it's uniquely John. And, with all the sayings and the stuff, when we play Yankee home run highlights from time to time, and John goes into his, he'll start singing an A-bomb from A-Rod. And then he'll, or Giancarlo, then he'll do like a saying in Spanish. And then Dave and John and I will look at each other with the mics off and start laughing because it's just so funny. It's so campy. But it's great. It works. So I'm a big fan of the Yankees broadcast. Just naming one off the top of my head.
There's different philosophical approaches. I've read, maybe a dozen or so different biographies about different radio broadcasters. That's how kind of geeky I am. In addition to the Kurt Smith book, The Voices of the Game. Mm-hmm. Homer versus fan versus what I'll call the Red Barber model. Which one do you prefer?
As a boy who grew up listening to baseball on the radio exclusively.
Is there another option?
It's got to be a hybrid.
Yeah. Be careful. Thin ice.
Yeah, because, I know some people prefer the homer thing, but you have to maintain your credibility. If the other team has a great play, a relay put out at the plate, you're going to call it with some gusto, but even if it's for the other team. But, you're not going to have the same emotion and vigor as you would if the Giants do it. But,
right.
You have to maintain the credibility with the fans to report on what's happening on the field. And, whether or not it's a great play, you have to translate that. You can't just, be like, oh, come on. You can't show those emotions on the air. I think it's somewhat, I wouldn't say unprofessional. Might be the wrong, too strong of a word to use there. But I think you owe it to the fans to give them the exact pulse of the game, whether it be something that happens for the home team or the road team. You got to play it somewhat down the middle. But obviously, you're going to call a walk off home run for the Giants differently than you're going to do a walk off home run for the Dodgers.
Yeah. For me, I like the fan. Jack Buck was in that niche for me. Mm-hmm. Lon was in that niche. I think Bill King, to a certain extent, was there too. But it's interesting to see the dichotomy or the different presentation when Jack Buck calls Kirk Gibson's, and I hate that home run off Eck, but okay, versus Scully.
Yeah.
Two totally different. One is so sterile, and I know that that's, mm-hmm. That's one style. But I want somebody that at least celebrates victories for my team and feels a little bit. And what about accuracy? I can remember that there were some flare-ups, and I'm going to use Simmons as a reference because I was close to him, where he called out Ricky Henderson for dogging it. It was an uncomfortable airplane flight Mom was listening, and Mom called son, and there was a little bit of a discussion about what was going on. Is accuracy required in the broadcast booth?
Yeah, I think it's individual broadcasters take pride, or at least the ones I've worked with, take pride in getting it right, even if they have to correct themselves. Sometimes an announcer who has to, read off several dozen names a night will cross up a name, maybe a last name, Brian Smith and a Jim Smith, or whatever. Right. It just happens off, you'll just correct yourself. And no announcer, announcers shouldn't be above being corrected by the producer if it aids the broadcast. In other words, if John's been saying, and this doesn't happen a lot, trust me, if John says the wrong first name, and sometimes then I'll question myself. I'll say, well, did he say it right, or am I, did, right. I, did I hear right. that wrong? Or and then he'll and then I'll just write him a note saying, like, it's Brian, you know, that kind of. And yeah. then he'll correct himself, and it's you move right along.
Or so pronunciations, I would think, would be a big deal too, with so many of the Hispanic and the Caribbean influence now.
And that's the thing, you know, each PR staff puts out a phonetic listing of names, but sometimes even those phonetics don't even, like, well, it could go this way, it could go that way, too. But those guys work on it, too. And part of it also is you'll have the, you'll go to the other broadcast booths, and you'll exchange information. It's like, oh, who's this guy? You know, he just got called up from AAA. How do you pronounce his last name? And then they'll do a lot of that.
Smith.
And then oftentimes you'll have the stadium, if we're on the road, a stadium public address announcer will come in and say, like, oh, how do you pronounce this third baseman's name for you? So it's an industry exchange, if you will.
Right, right. Well, and you want guys that can laugh at their mistakes, too, instead of thinking that they're,
That's when either
you'll laugh at them or you'll laugh at yourself. You take your pick, and somebody's going to be laughing.
Right, right. No, I think fans and listeners love it. Almost like self-deprecating humor, right? It's like... people like that because it's humbling. Everyone does. Everyone makes mistakes.
It's normal. And I think that's what you look for. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:49. Waxing nostalgic. I bet you didn't think you'd be waxing this morning. Waxing nostalgic with Darren Jan of the Giants. Go ahead, you play it however you want. You know, people might think you have a handlebar mustache, and that's okay. What is coming up around the corner? What are you hearing that's going to be either flavoring baseball a little bit more, adding to it, taking from it? What kind of sense do you have for the upcoming 24 season?
Well, there's always an unpredicted storyline that develops in baseball as we go along here. And it goes in waves, and that's just the nature of the length of the season. You'll have a guy that can, you know, fire off some rookie that's going to fire off, you know, five home runs in four games. So it's let's look for something like that. In terms of the second-year rule for the pitch clock, you know, with no runners on base, it'll still stay at 15 seconds between pitches. Now, the only thing that's changing about the pitch clock this year is that last year, with a runner on base, it was a 20-second clock. This year, it's being shaved down to 18 seconds. So I think a lot of the pitchers...
2 seconds?
That 2 seconds is being shaved off. Now, the early returns are the pitchers aren't happy about that, which you can understand. 2 seconds is 2 seconds. But I think baseball is continually looking at this. And I will tell you this. Last year, after every month, we were given data and analysis from the Major League office on how the pitch clock was going, the average times a game, the average time between pitches, with or without runners on base. So the data is definitely being researched, and it's being analyzed to fine-tune this and make it better.
But are, you know, they asking are they asking the fans, though, Darren?
No. They listen. I think baseball is not that tone-deaf where they don't listen. But they definitely but they ultimately will make the decision. But they listen to the feedback from the fans. That's absolutely. I think that's a big thing.
Now, last year it was a larger base also. Much impact on that? Or is it just easier to for the umpires to see the runners hit the bag as they make the turn?
I think stolen bases were up last year's considerably. I will say that the one thing I hope baseball does adopt at some point, and this is for people who watch the game at home or in the ballpark itself, is that we have umpires that now will, you know, after replays, they will render a decision publicly and announce it, much like just like in the NFL. So this is standard now. But maybe on a close play or something, they will turn on their microphones and acknowledge what the change, what happened on that play. Maybe explain it a little bit, because there are some times where you're like looking at and the umpires are discussing amongst themselves, and then they'll break up and go back to their positions. Well, what did you guys just meet about? What was their possible infraction? Explain it more to the fans. You have this great opportunity with a microphone now. Let's kind of broaden it so that people in the stands and at home know exactly what you're meeting about and what the process was to coming to a decision.
17 seconds, Max.
Yeah, exactly. Turn the clock on for that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Are they keeping that stupid runner starting at second base in the extra innings?
Yeah, they are, and the players are behind it, too. It's not like something this baseball is mandating. The players want to do it for, they're totally on board. They realize the length of the games, and for the health aspect of it, too, as well. It's just the days of the 18-inning games are, they're like the dodo bird. They're just, you don't, they're going to, once or twice a year now, you'll see that, as opposed to maybe more, you know, half a dozen or a dozen times during the season now.
Yeah, I always saw the extra innings as an opportunity for the low end of the bench to be able to get in the game and have impact and maybe get some recognition and be able to advance their cause.
Yeah, I think it's just it's here to stay.
Yeah, fine, okay. Probably, like the Twilight Night doubleheader. Actually, you guys have – how did the Giants get a scheduled doubleheader?
So my understanding is that more teams are looking at the scheduled doubleheaders just to also provide an added off day. That's what the players get in exchange for it. So it's something that the union definitely was behind, and I think for fans, they love the novelty of it.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, what baseball was. Hey, thanks for coming by. Yeah. I appreciate it. It's been a kick again this time, and hopefully we won't hear you on the air too much in the remainder of the Cactus League. We'll let the guys carry the torch.
Anytime. You guys are the best up there. You're one of the great Giants radio affiliates, so we love having you on the air. Thanks for listening and continuing to listen to Giants baseball on the radio.
Hey, ball game today. Thanks, bud.
That's right.
You got it right to the edge, and you didn't tip it over. Fine.
12:05 Pacific, 11:50 pregame show. John Miller, Joe Rizzo on the call.
There you go. Fine. It's too late. It's over. Thanks. Appreciate it, Darren.
All right.
All righty.
You got it.
See everybody tomorrow.